I've had so much love from you guys this week and so much encouragement, and I just love this house. Absolutely love this house and love you guys, your whānau. And yeah, just the messages and the encouragement that I've had this week is blowing me away. So, and Wes and Janet, for whenever you're watching this, thank you for the honour and the privilege of standing behind this pulpit. I know it's cost you everything. So yeah, I don't take it lightly. All right, I think I've caught up with myself. Right, I'm actually, God gave me the title for a message, which is what he often does, and then Wes rang me and I said, oh, I've got a message, I've got a title. So the title of my message, if you are a note taker, is What Moves You? Right, I'm going to be talking about compassion. So, yeah, as we know, Jesus was moved with compassion, right? He's our great example. Mel, can you come and sit over here somewhere? Sit in my seat. So you're sitting there by yourself, yeah. You know, Jesus was moved with compassion, and so we should be too. That should be part of who we are. That should just be a normal Christian thing, right? To be moved with compassion. So I want to have a look at some times when Jesus was moved with compassion. And compassion actually means sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. And you know what? The times when I've been moved with compassion, like severely, has actually changed my destiny. All right, it's no small thing being actually moved with compassion. I'm serious. It's changed the course of my destiny. The times when I've had those encounters with God, when my heart has broken so much over something that that something happens, that I do something about it, that I make a phone call, I do something, and then, oh my goodness, the rest is history. It does change the course of your life, doesn't it, Mel? Yeah. Okay, so firstly I'm reading from Matthew 15:30. Then the great multitude came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. That's really what happens when you're in a situation like that, right? And people get healed and God gets the glory. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, so now he's going, I have compassion on the multitude. So he used that word compassion. He didn't say, oh, you know, I feel sorry for these people that are starving. He goes, I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. So he goes on to do a miracle, a food miracle, where he fed 4,000 men plus women and children. And, you know, I was thinking about it and I thought, the times that I've been moved with compassion for the hunger of humanity, it's ended up being quite a big deal. I think the first time it happened was when I became a Bernardo's caregiver, long time ago, maybe 30 plus years ago, and they quickly figured out that they could give me all the at-risk children. I had no idea why. And so they brought me the hungry children and, you know, the children that were neglected, and I'd say to them, you know, what did you have for lunch today when I picked them up? And they'd go, an ice block. And so what I do, I go home and make a big pile of sandwiches. And so that's what Jesus did, right? So he prayed and said grace. I'm not there yet, but I really want to get to that place and produce all of that food to feed people. But it cost me something. It did cost me something. And so when you move with compassion, you'll find that it will mess with your day. It will definitely mess with your finances. And it could mess with your destiny. So, yeah. Oh, fun and games. Right, I'm going to Mark 1:40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing of those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, because this is what happens after you've been moved with compassion and God moves on somebody, then this happens. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in deserted places and they came to him from every direction. Right? So Jesus was trying to keep his cover a bit longer, but if you start moving with compassion and you start helping people or you lay hands on the sick and they recover, they are going to tell their mates, all right? And word is going to spread. And so I've experienced this myself during prison ministry to the point that I had to be quite careful what I did because I actually had to stop going to the parole board with people because everyone I went with got out of prison. And so I'd have people begging me to go to their parole hearing and, you know, I had to make sure that I only went when God told me to go. And so as soon as I read that, I thought, I actually get that because when word gets out, you know, and you are actually helping people like that, you have to realise that things are going to change and that word's going to get round. Right, now I'm going to Mark 5:15. The Gadarene demoniac, I love this story. Unfortunately, 2,000 pigs lost their life that day. but anyway, so after that happened, after the poor pigs had jumped over the cliff, no one's got roast pork in the oven, eh? No? All right. So then they came to Jesus and saw the one that had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him and that had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from that region, well, their demons did. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. So there it happens again, you see. He's had compassion, and now the people don't want to leave. They just want to be around him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, now this time he tells a different thing, "Go home to your friends and tell them what happened, the things that the Lord has done for you, and how he had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and marvelled. So here's like a whole different story where he's saying to them, to that cleansed person, "Go home now and tell everybody." And I found it really interesting, like, would you think that compassion and deliverance are linked? Does that seem like a funny link to you, or was that just me? I don't know if you've ever thought about compassion and deliverance quite like that. I tend to think of compassion as like hunger and stuff like that. So, but I thought, yeah, you know, doesn't your heart go out to people when they need deliverance, you know? And I was thinking about a time when I had deliverance, and I was away from God at the time. I'd been at the pub with my dad drinking, so I went to my mum's house drunk, and my friend was there, who I used to drink with, but my jolly mother had led her to the Lord and she'd become a Christian. And I was like really angry about that because I was backslidden. And so I walked into the house and I saw her and I went for her. The demons inside me went for her. And I ripped the door off the bedroom, ripped the actual door off the bedroom, and then I cleared everything off the Duchess and I went after her. Now, my mother was moved with something, so she came from the kitchen to the bedroom, and my mother's like under 4 foot, and she goes, "Stop it in the name of Jesus," and I hit the floor. And I went, yeah, my mother was moved with something, wasn't she? And that's it. So now, you know, I'm a screaming heap on the floor now. It was amazing. But I thought, yeah, she was moved, you know. Remember the title, What Moves You? What moves you? What actually moves you? I've learned now the things that move me. So now I'm going to the story of the Good Samaritan. I love this. So there was a lawyer who was trying to test Jesus, you know, and he was asking, who's my neighbour? So then Jesus shares the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion, right? So two other people have managed to ignore someone who clearly needed help. But he was moved with compassion, right? So he stops. Now, so this is going to change the course of his day. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So if we were talking about that in our language, he picked him up, put him in his car. He probably had blood on him, so your car's going to get blood in it. And then he took him to the hospital, because we wouldn't take anyone to a motel or an inn, but we would take them to the hospital. Sat there with him all night while he has to wait in the corridor, because that's what you have to do at the moment in the hospital, is wait in the corridor all night, right? With a stranger that he doesn't know, that he picked up on the side of the road. Now, that guy was clearly moved with compassion, wasn't he? Right. Remember, Jesus was moved with compassion. Who's our example? So we might get to pick up someone in our car and get blood on it. There's car wash places, don't worry about it. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So now it's messed with his finances as well, right? Compassion will mess with your finances. So which of these three do you think was neighbour to him that fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So that's our mandate. Our mandate is to be looking for broken people to help, right? I love all these nodding heads. Awesome. Keep them going. They're wonderful. Yeah. And so, you know, we have to come to a place where we can be interrupted. You know, Jesus' stories through the gospel was constant interruption. And I remember during prison ministry, I'd try to sneak into prison in the morning and maybe get my bag into the office. And if anyone saw me like walking across the hallway, I'd hear my name being yelled out in the wing, down, because no one cares about yelling in prison. It's actually fun. And so I'd hear my name being yelled out, and I'd be going, can I just put my bag in the office, you know? And because there was always some urgent need. And sometimes I had trouble going, you know, I'd have my diary and I'd go, who do I prioritise? Where do I go first? Who can I go to at 3 o'clock and who do I need to go at 8 o'clock, you know? Because they were just full of these needs. And it was just incredible. Like, that's an adrenaline rush for me. I actually love it. And just being able to help people and solve their problems, because sometimes, you know, people can't solve their own problems, but they just need a mate to come along and go, do you know what? We could fix that this way. Or I could actually fix it. You can't fix it. Hey, Mel. You can't fix it, but do you know what? I can fix it. I've got this amazing storehouse. Check this out. Are you hungry? Shall we get 2 bags and send you home with some groceries? And so, yeah, being moved with compassion is just so much fun. Righty-ho. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Okay? Who's with us? God, right? So we can go about healing people, right? Vicky did that this morning. Word of knowledge, people get healed. We can go about doing good, like, yeah, be a do-gooder. Be a jolly do-gooder and change somebody's day. I just think it's the most powerful thing that we can do. And deliverance, yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, if you've got any issues with deliverance, that, you know, now's a really good time to get over it, because just saying. Because you might, you know, if you're on Facebook or anything, you might notice that things have got a bit nutty out there. Just a little bit confused, right? What's behind that? Demons. Yeah. So, I just wanted to sort of throw that in for free, because I feel like we're going to have to get to a place where, you know, I've always fancied having a deliverance tent here anyway, to be honest. And just fill it up and get going, you know. And I think that those days are coming when that we, the church, and I heard Wes say this not long ago, you know, he said, like, what if you come home from work and people are standing in your driveway waiting for healing? Well, what if people find out that you're really good at ghostbusting? Yeah. And go, well, we've got all this crazy stuff happening in our house. Can you come around? That's me and Ruth's dream. We're going to make a ghost-busting team. Yeah. And so I really feel that we're at a place we're going to have to man up a bit. Just a bit. No, a lot. We're going to have to man up a lot and get to a point where, you know, we're not afraid to put our hand to stuff like that. And, you know, it's good to have partners. Jesus sent out the disciples in twos, right? And partners, so that's wisdom. And, yeah, it's wisdom not to do deliverance sessions, you know, girls on their own and things like that. So, you know, be wise. But I think we're at that point where things are going to change a wee bit. And the lost, if you look at the lost at the moment, like, and you look at them 10 years ago, there's a bit of a difference, isn't there? Even 5 years ago, but definitely 10 years ago, there's a big difference. Yeah. Okay. Right. Then God reminded me, while I was getting this ready, God reminded me of the prophetic word that I delivered at Behold this year, and I thought, oh, wow, yeah, that actually matches too. So I'm just going to read the three paragraphs that match. So it says, God spoke to me saying, this is not a year to procrastinate. Quick, lock the doors. It is a year of active service where the army of God, the church, who's the church? Will know what it is to stand to attention, receive her orders, and go without delay into those places I have already prepared for harvest. I am already in those places waiting for my army to arrive with polished, laced-up boots and hearts on fire. There's a bit of fire in here this morning, I tell you. There are decades of prayers for revival at Tipping Point, Apostle Anne Morrow. I have heard the cries for the lost, the broken, addicted, the poor, the sick, the fatherless, the motherless, and the widows, and the homeless, the lonely from my bride. Just let that sit for a minute. This is what should break our hearts. This, you know, that should break our hearts. Listening to that, I'm going to read that again. The broken, the lost, the addicted, the poor, the sick, the fatherless and the motherless, the widows and the homeless and the lonely. Now is the time to release salvation, deliverance and healing en masse in Aotearoa New Zealand. It is time for this little light of mine to become a great spotlight, searching out the ears of salvation and leading them into the arms of Jesus Christ, their King. People won't be able to hide in churches this year. This year, I sense that the Spirit of God is going to fall on us so powerfully and touch our hearts so deeply for the lost that many who have never gone out before to share the gospel will be compelled to do it. The love of God and His heart's desire for humanity will overtake any fear and intimidation that we've lived with for too long. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is here. Holy Ghost is here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, well, what do you show me to do? I want to make an opportunity for God to break us afresh. Some of us don't need breaking and some of us do. Some of us have maybe been broken for the lost and go, actually, it's just too hard. I get that 100%. Nevertheless, if Jesus was moved with compassion, then we must be moved with compassion. It's not really an option for me. So what do you show me to do? If you are a preacher or an evangelist, I'd like you to come and stand here in this section. If you have anything to do with children, I'd like you to come in the middle. If you are a prayer, a prayer warrior, or an intercessor, I'd like you to pray here. Prophets will probably fit in all of those three, so just pick which one you like the best. All right. So if you've got your brave on this morning, because this is no light thing that we're doing, I'll just give a disclaimer. This is actually no light thing. This could change the course of your life. This could change your destiny. And it'll be the most amazing fun thing that's ever happened to you, I promise. Thank you, Father. Right. Thank you. So we'll make that the line there. So this is for children, that middle part. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you're sitting in your seat and you're too scared to come, just put your big person pants on and get up here. Seriously, I've got Wonder Woman pants. Sometimes I have to put them on. Like most days. Thank you, Father. So this is an encounter between you and God. Times like this, when I've had encounters like this with God, it's me and Him. And He'll speak to you, or He'll give you a vision. And then it's up to you after that to go and do something about it. People go, oh, how did your prison ministry start? Oh, that's easy. My friend came to my house. She walked in the door. And she said, the Bible says we should visit people in prison. And I said, well, let's go then. Yeah. So I rang Paz. And I said, how do we get to be a prison volunteer? I didn't have an angel or a trumpet blast. I went and did something about it. I made a phone call, I got in my car, and I went and did something about it because I was moved with compassion, right? One of the best decisions I'd ever made. Then it was years after that I actually ended up going in there doing prison ministry because God started work on my heart and He needed to heal me of all the rejection I had before I went into a prison for obvious reasons. And then when He did it, the river flowed and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was the most amazing thing. But it started as easy as that. We should go and visit people in prison. Let's go. All right? Sometimes I think we just wait and wait and wait for God, you know, to come and do some amazing thing. And yes, He does that sometimes, but sometimes It's just up to us to go, well, if it says it in the Bible, well, let's go. It says about widows and orphans in the Bible, doesn't it? Yep. Honestly, if you're going, oh, God, I don't know what to do, can you please adopt a single-parent family for me?
Yeah, come on.
Just adopt them. Start blessing them. What do they need? Meet their needs. We're Jesus' hands and feet, aren't we? What do they need? Oh, it'll be money, promise you. Money. Flows in and it flows out, it flows in and it flows out. The more it flows out, the more it flows in, just saying. Yeah? What about widows? Come on. Lonely. My mum was a widow for 10 years, so I've witnessed personally how lonely that is. Adopt a widow and their family. Love them. Take them out somewhere. Maybe they like to go out for a nice meal somewhere, but they never want to do that by themselves. Break us, God. Break us for the lost. Break us, God. Break us for the next season. Fill our hearts, God, with compassion so that we move with what moves you. Let us truly be your hands and feet. No holds barred, God. Healing and deliverance. Healing and deliverance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands up and receive. I don't actually think I'm going to touch anybody. I don't feel like I should mess with this. This really is between you and God. But some of you are going to have visions about things that you've pondered and you've thought about, and God's going to bring it back to mind. Just go do it. Go do it. So when I went to Pars that day, after that they took us out to the women's prison and we went for a tour through it. And then they said, actually we don't need anybody right now, but we'll give you a call if we need you. Then years went by, and then revival hit in the 90s, and I was on the floor one night and Wes prayed for me and I went flying across the floor and landed in my Bible at Isaiah 61. And because I'd been for that tour, I'd seen it, and I saw a vision of me and Jesus walking through the prison, unlocking doors and letting prisoners out. Then I went and did it. Yep. Has anyone got a box of tissues handy? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And what about children? These are all the children people? Yeah. My goodness. My goodness. We need people that'll put their hand up to rescue a generation like never before. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing on that. Thank you for your anointing, Father. Oh, God, to actually rescue a generation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's no light thing either. No light thing. I've just left 7.5 years from working in a preschool and it broke my heart. I didn't realise preschools were like that. It broke my heart. And I thank you, God, that I'm here. Thank you that, Lord, I can speak for those kids who get dropped off every morning and are traumatised because their mum and dad's racing to drop them off so they can get to work on time. There's a whole generation being brought up like that. Thank you, Father. And thank you for these preachers, God. Thank you for these preachers. Thank you, Father. Oh, God. Fill them with compassion, Father God. That when they preach, Lord, and when they minister, that it's you, God. It's 100% you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take them on encounters for messages that have never been preached yet. Thank you, Father, for new messages that are going to change the course of history. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that's right. Actually change the course of history because we're not scared to say stuff. Hey, Duncan. Not scared to say stuff. Thank you, Lord. To speak the truth. To speak the truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Good. Good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost. He's here. He's definitely, I'm not touching anybody because I don't want to mess up what he's doing. This is business. This is God's business. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Tell him. Just tell him what you're thinking. Tell him you want to go again. If you've had a bad experience, tell him you want to go again. Ask him to heal you, that you'd be bold enough to go again. Move us, God. Move us. Shift us, Lord. Shift us out of our comfort zones. Shift us to where you want us to be. Position us to where you want us to be. In the community, God. In the supermarket, Lord, making a difference. At the gas station, making a difference. Thank you, Father. Thank you for just a spirit of evangelism just to fall on everybody now. Just to fall on everybody. Thank you, Lord. A spirit of evangelism just fall afresh, God, on this church who love the lost. I love this church because it loves the lost. I've never brought anybody here that felt unwelcome. I love it. There's always a place for the lost in this church and on the front row, and I love that too. It's so biblical. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for fire. Thank you for fire. I feel like you guys are so hungry for fire this morning. I felt it ever since I came in. All through the worship, I thought, they know I've got my fire socks on and I'm undercover. Thank you, Father. Thank you for fire. Yep. Just receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Have your way, Lord.